This is the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Scherzo cuts back, fires the shot, and it's in! It falls to Ely on the volley! Cross it to Namath, and he touches it in!
Presented by 360 Vodka. Raise a glass to spring at the Holiday Distillery, where you'll learn the incredible story of Casey's oldest business and experience real Missouri bourbon being made. Tours are only $10 and include tasting to those 21 and up. Book now at holidaydistillery.com.
Now your host, Nate Buchady.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Nate Buchady, joined as always by the one and only El Jefe Carter Augustine. Carter, how are you, man?
Yeah, doing well. Good weather. Start the week. Loving that. How are you?
Yeah, loving the weather this week. Temperatures all the way from the 60s, 70s to 80s. And I mean, I guess there's a little bit of rain here and there in the forecast, but compared to what we have had, it's looking good. And in a three-game homestand coming up for Sporting Kansas City to try to turn things around and get things right.
Big three-game homestand, I think, just considering the fact that they are on the road all of June. Maybe an Open Cup game in there, but, yeah, I think these three games are really big in that regard and maybe take a little pressure off that four-game road swing as well.
And we will talk about that road trip coming up. We'll also recap the 1-0 loss that Sporting KC suffered against DC United over the weekend. Some interesting coaching moves across the league that we will discuss as well. But also we'll have a chance to sit down with our old pal Benny Failhaber. He's going to join us in the next segment of the show, and always good to catch up with Benny. And you can just tell he's happy to be back in Kansas City, and we're happy to have him.
Yeah, much needed jolt of energy, I think, to a team kind of a little down in the spirits before he joined. And I thought you saw that a little bit in the performance this past weekend as well, just a little bit better on all fronts and a little more energetic, I think, and a little, you saw a few more tackles, few more of getting stuck in and stuff like that. I think he's brought a boost to the team.
Certainly, I think, a better performance by Sporting against DC United, even though it ended up in a loss. We're also going to be joined by the head coach of the Vancouver Whitecaps. That's the next opponent for Sporting Kansas City. They take on the Whitecaps at 7:30 on Saturday night. And Mark Dos Santos is the head coach, first year at the helm of the Whitecaps, and he was at the helm of Swope Park Rangers, their first year in existence. Of course, you call the Swope Park Rangers games, Carter, so you know Mark quite well. And I think when he was here, you saw a man who was destined to one day become a head coach at the MLS level, and we're seeing it now.
Definitely, yeah. Good to have another old pal back on the show here today, and we really good talking to him. And yes, I thought he was always destined to make the jump to MLS. He's won at pretty much every single level he's been at. You saw with the Swope Park Rangers in their first year, he was really good at being pragmatic and getting results when they seemed to have their backs against the wall. Then he went to San Francisco, and what did they do with the Deltas in his 1 year? They won the championship and then folded. So that was an interesting little tidbit of his time in San Francisco, and then went and spent a year under Bob Bradley at LAFC. So he's been with Vermees with Bob Bradley. I think that's a pretty good background to have as well, making the jump to MLS, but just a really bright guy and really outspoken in the media as well. I think Vancouver media is starting to get a little bit of a taste of what he brings in the soundbite game as well. So happy for him to get that gig, and I think he's going to bring Vancouver up a notch and already kind of seeing them start to turn around from their tough start to the season.
Yeah, they had a terrible start to the season, but then they were able to grind out a 1-0 victory over LAFC. They did suffer a 1-0 loss to Orlando after that, but then a 1-1 draw against a good Philadelphia team, 3-2 win over Colorado. We'll talk with Benny about that in a little bit. And then the 1-0 victory over Portland this past Friday. So all of a sudden, three wins in their last five games. They are headed things in the right direction, and it looks like he's maybe adjusted a little bit the way they've played as the season has gone on.
Yeah, and I think they got rid of 18 or 19 players from last season's roster.
They had a mess on their hands.
I mean, a complete overhaul, really. So you'd expect them to start the season, maybe a little more slowly than other teams in the league.
Yeah.
And I think these results are starting to pile up in a good direction, trending well for Vancouver, and they brought in pieces from all over the world as well. So taking a little bit of time to maybe mesh, but yeah, I think they're going to be headed in the right direction under him.
They do have a game at midweek tomorrow night. We're of course doing this show on a Tuesday, so on Wednesday night they take on Atlanta United, a BC place in Vancouver. Then here in Kansas City, taking on Sporting Kansas City on Saturday. So that's coming up on the show. Benny Failhaber and Mark Dos Santos, going to be a lot of fun. But as we said, Sporting coming off a 1-0 loss against DC United. Really good goal by Paul Arriola.
Yeah.
Maybe Nicholas Hasler can close him down a little sooner than he did, but you certainly can't take anything away from the finish. And you and I were commenting during the course of the game, Carter, that particularly in the second half, that was anybody's game to have. And I'm just wondering if that's something even in a loss that Sporting Kansas City can build from.
Yeah, well, I think you hear from the guys and Peter Vermees, it's a much better performance than the one against Atlanta. So they've already, you know, kind of went back in the right direction. And I agree. We were talking about it during the commentary. It really was up for grabs in the second half, and I thought that Sporting had kind of gained control there for a good 10 to 15 minutes. Good substitution by Ben Olsen, I think, to maybe change the way they were set up, because Sporting was starting to get a little bit more control, and he added Segura into the midfield. And then it kind of felt like it was going to take a moment of class to separate that game from a 0-0, mm-hmm. didn't it? I mean, and it was that from Arriola. Yeah, Hasler, I think, would look back, want to get a little closer, but you can understand why he's playing off him a little bit, because Arriola, not really known for being a long-range specialist. He's more known for his pace and his ability to dribble guys and get him behind, and I think that's what he was kind of trying to prevent. And then there's a foul in the build-up that we still haven't seen a good second look of, that I think Sporting was hoping to maybe get a VAR and that would take a look at it, but they didn't. And so, I mean, they check every goal, obviously, but they didn't think it was worth looking at it more closely. It seems like those are the bounces that kind of go against a team when they're down on their luck.
Yeah, I think that's true, but I also think that when you're down on your luck, you notice the bounces that don't go your
way. That's a good point.
You know, and maybe that's a little bit of a chicken and the egg thing, but I think the Sporting Kansas City team that we saw at the beginning of the season might have a bad break go against them, and then they go and they score a couple of goals, yeah. And they bounce back from it. Or if they get a break that goes their way, they pounce on it right away. For example, you know, Christian Namath has a break go his way when I think it was Birnbaum that slipped and fell,
yeah.
And just left the ball there for Christian Namath, and he's through one-on-one with the keeper, and he's not even able to put it on frame. I think the Sporting Kansas City team earlier in the season that's flying with confidence, you get a break like that, you put it away.
Yeah.
And so maybe you get more breaks, but also maybe it's what you do with those breaks depending on what kind of form you're in right now. And you hope that for Sporting Kansas City, like we said, this is something, even though it was in a loss, it's a building block towards something better. Now they got to turn those building blocks into a result, you know, coming up with the game at home on Saturday.
Yeah, I think they can build, especially on the back line. Yeah, the goal is a phenomenal goal that maybe could have been prevented a few times. But other than that, I thought Graham Smith was fantastic.
Yep.
He and him and Barat seemed to get a little bit better in their second mm-hmm. game together. Mm-hmm. Hasler stepping in for Zusi and Sinovic, kind of a patchwork back line, and they really limited the chances of DC United. And this is a good DC United team, obviously, towards the top of the East, and they've been very good at limiting chances for other teams throughout the season. They did that again, but I'm with you. I think there's some definite positives from this game, and hopefully hopefully Sporting can build on that, and hopefully they'll start to get some guys back and healthy as well.
Yeah, because, you know, and that's going to be another thing that we have to watch for this week. Too early in the week to know right now who's going to be available and who's not. But so far the injury list keeps growing instead of shrinking.
Yeah.
Up to 10 guys as Graham Zusi got added to the injury list last week. But we did see Jimmy Madronda back in training last week. You hope he takes another step forward in training this week. Guys with some of those soft tissue injuries like an Andre Ufantas or a Matt Beisler, you wonder how long before those guys rejoin training, and you start to hope to get some of those guys back as we move out of spring and into summer here before too long.
Yeah, and I think especially a Matt Beisler is a guy that they'll really want to have back in the side, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, it kind of goes without saying, but as good as Graham Smith played this past weekend. That's just a captain and a leader and a player of immense quality that will obviously improve the fortunes moving forward. But you hope that through these struggles, maybe some guys are getting a little bit more experience, and hopefully it'll better serve them down the line.
You know, I don't know, and this maybe is a broader topic for another day, but you mentioned Matt Beisler. I think we are seeing two of the more unsung players, even as much as they are appreciated in Kansas City history, in Roger Espinoza and Matt Beisler. That old adage of you don't know what you got till it's gone, because a lot of times we've talked a lot about what Roger brings to the table, and you can see that that's been missing since he's been out. But with Matt Beisler, a lot of times the stuff that he does is stuff you don't really notice. It's the ability to play out of the back. It's the ability to pick out that long diagonal ball and read the game. And as you said, really Graham Smith did a very good job filling in, and I think he is showing that he is working his way into being a legitimate, dependable central defender in MLS. And maybe he can work his way to the point of what I'm about to say about Matt Beisler, but so much of the ethos of Sporting KC right now is about that ability to play from the back and under pressure. And Beisler makes that look easy. And I do think you're starting to notice that when he's not in there, there just is a big difference for Sporting KC.
Yeah, certainly. And just a guy that has marshaled the back line for more games than any player in this club's history. And he brings that wealth of experience with him as well in terms of organizing the defense. And you mentioned the way he reads a game as well, I think really lends itself to how Sporting play when they have the ball, but then when they lose it and they immediately try to get it back within, you know, the first few seconds, he's there to snuff out passing lanes. And such a fantastic player. These injuries are tough to not talk about, because the impact of a guy like Beisler and Espinoza. I mean, we've talked about him the past couple of shows, just missing that bite in midfield. But I think there's a little bit more of that this past weekend. Maybe Benny Failhaber coming into the middle helps that out a little bit. Ilya back in the lineup helps immensely as well, and that pushed Gutierrez into a position that he seems better suited to or more comfortable with in this SKC system. So he could get in a few tackles as well. I think we saw a little bit more of that this past weekend as well.
Yeah, it's I think a sign and a step in the right direction for Sporting Kansas City. Now, can they build on that on Saturday against Vancouver? We'll talk about that with Benny Failhaber. Also, we'll talk with Mark Dos Santos and learn a lot about the Vancouver Whitecaps and just maybe get an update from him on the long trip that he's taken from Swope Park Rangers to now head coach of the Whitecaps as well. That's all straight ahead. You are listening to the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City's exclusive home for Sporting Kansas City.
The Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810, WHB, and of course, anywhere you get your podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, the 810 app, any of those places. We appreciate you listening, and we're very happy to be joined by a very special guest, a man who knows a thing or two about hosting his own show. Benny Failhaber is with us. Benny, that's by the way, that's Carter Augustine's phone that you hear in the
wow.
background there.
I thought that was actually like a theme song.
Yeah. you do need your own theme song, don't you? What was the theme song to the Benny Failhaber show back in the day?
I don't know if it was a theme song. So we had one song every introduction, right, that
yeah.
I would lip sync to. But I think there was...
I remember Walking on Sunshine one time, right?
No.
I made that up?
I don't think so. That might have been in your dreams.
Yeah, I dream about the Benny Failhaber show quite a bit.
When you were supposed to be a guest on it or something?
I was never asked to be a guest on the Benny Failhaber show.
You're going to be season two, maybe, but there was no season two. It got canceled.
Is there any chance of a reboot?
If Sal wants to come out of retirement, get signed for Sporting Kansas City, then I have all intentions to persuade him. But
there's been a lot of clamoring for that. That's like some of the highest comments were clamoring for the Benny Failhaber show. But you've stuck by Sal ever since season one.
Yeah, there can't be a sequel without the original cast, so...
I mean, it's not the Sal Zizo show. It's the Benny Failhaber show.
I mean, the name of the show caught on, but yeah, the cast is like, I mean, I'm sure you can come up with a movie where, you know, the second character or whatever, the second actor supporting is really the most important. So Sal was right up there.
Yeah. David Letterman, you wouldn't have him without
Paul Schaefer.
Paul Schaefer, yeah.
That's right. Or who was the I'm trying to remember who the character, my mom's favorite, Larry Bud Melman. You know, that was my mom's favorite character on the show.
I don't know who that is.
See, that's generation gap.
That was on David Letterman?
Yeah, he was a bit character. He was a little old man that would come out and yell things every once in a while.
But, okay.
Anyway.
That's like Jimmy Kimmel and what's the little guy's name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing.
Same thing.
I don't know his name either.
Guillermo.
Guillermo.
There you go. We're off to a good start. How are you, man? How are things since have you settled in at all since coming to Kansas City?
I haven't settled in per se, but it's literally in the process of settling in right now in terms of actually moving into a house. We will be renting our good friend Diego Rubio's place. So we're excited about that. And hopefully all our things are supposed to arrive today / tomorrow morning, and we're good to go starting tomorrow. I think living in a new house, the whole family's come over already, and so we are going to be settled in about 24 hours, hopefully.
What did you miss about Kansas City, maybe with the team, maybe outside the team in your years away?
I mean, I miss the team a lot, you know, a lot of friends, teammates, obviously, that have become really good friends over the last, the 5 years that I was here. And so I miss that a lot. I miss the style of play that I, you know, I learned here with Peter and the group. And I didn't get to miss this facility yet because I didn't know it, but I know I would have missed this if I had been around to see this before. And obviously just Kansas City as a whole. I mean, I've been at the Plaza for the last 3-4 days now, or I guess a little bit closer to a week, I guess now. And it's exciting just walking around, going to old restaurants, old places that I knew. I went to Fogo last night, and it's just nice to be back. So a lot of things that I missed that, you know, I'm taking it all in now.
So life has changed a little bit for you since you were here. You added one to the family. You got your boy now. How's that process treating you? And how's Michelle and like, you know, when are you getting the whole family here, all that stuff?
So, yeah, the little guy snuck in. It was the first two were completely planned, and they came out girls. And then me and Michelle basically had a conversation. She was a little bit more, let's go for the third. And I said, no chance, because it'll be another girl. And I'm sure he heard that. And then the first chance that he got that we kind of messed up a little bit, he snuck through, and here he is. And so we're very, very lucky to have him. And he's about 2 months now. He's been great. And to answer your question about the family, they are here. They just drove over. My parents helped, and they drove over last night and this morning, and they are at the hotel just waiting for me to finish this interview so I can go see them. You know, I haven't seen them in like 10 days, Nate.
Good. We're going to try to make this as long of an interview as possible then to prolong the suffering. So, you know, my wife and I have the third on the way.
I heard. Congratulations.
And, we were actually trying. You know, we're the dummies, but we already had one of each. Was there a lot, like, for you? I mean, I know you love having daughters, but to get that boy, was that a big deal? Did it matter to you? Or?
Oh, it mattered big time, yeah. I mean, I love my girls. And hopefully Julia never hears this, but the first time that we found out the second one was a girl, I was like, oh, man, really? And I knew it was coming, too. Yeah. But, I mean, I wanted the second one to be a boy. You know, if the first one had been a boy, I would have wanted the second one to be a girl and vice versa. And so I wouldn't change it for the world. Now I love those two little girls. But it is nice to have, you know, a boy in the family and two girls, one boy. And now it's for sure done, Nate, by the way.
Okay, you've executed the procedure to make sure this isn't going to happen again. And does Michelle miss Kansas City? I mean,
Michelle missed Kansas City more than I did.
Really?
Yes. When she knew that there was a potential of me getting traded, I told her the teams that I would, you know, potentially like to go to. It's hard to narrow it down to just one because you never know if that one's going to be interested in you. And she right away said, it better not be anywhere other than Kansas City. So, I mean, we're both from L.A., and she has more friends here than back at home, you know, with all the – she has such a good, network with all the girls on the team, all the wives, the girlfriends and everything. And so we had great neighbors in Overland Park as well. And so we had a really good group of friends here that, we built over those 5 years. So Michelle was ecstatic to, come back.
Was she playing a little bit of an agent there as the, as things were going down?
No, she doesn't. She doesn't get involved too much in that aspect. But she let me know that that was where she wanted to go.
So you're back, and I mean, boy, I remember just last week on whatever day it was, we had you on the morning show, and I said, "Well, how soon can you play?" And you're like, oh, "I think pretty quick." Oh, how about all 90 minutes? How did that go? How did it feel to get out there and I mean, just hit the ground and boom, start and play 90 minutes?
It felt good. You know, we all wanted to get something out of that game, you know, so it's disappointing. But I do think that as much as we didn't get a result, there were a lot of positives in that game from, you know, the I think the back four played very well. We almost, you know, were able to sneak a point out of there with the amount of injuries that we've had, the amount of turnover on the roster that we've had, guys that have played very few minutes along the season, myself included now, you know, being here, I haven't played with this team in, over a year and a half. And so there were good things from the game that hopefully we can take and use to, get 3 points this weekend. And so, you know, for myself, it was awesome, you know, to be back with some of these guys that I haven't played with, you know, a guy like Ilya that I played with for basically a season only. And then guys that, you know, I've seen a lot, you know, Gutierrez, Johnny, you know, Nemo I played with, but as a left-sided winger. And so it's nice to kind of be back with a lot of guys that I've played with and I've seen and try and, you know, find my spot on the team and how I fit in and where I can be effective. And so, you know, that'll only get better. And so I'm excited for, this next opportunity and hopefully with the points included this time.
What's it like playing against or playing with guys that you've played against so far in this season? Obviously, in that game out in Colorado earlier this year, and in the midfield, I think especially, I'm curious, you battled against Felipe Gutierrez and Ilya and the like. What's it like now, kind of switching teams and playing with them?
I mean, it's not too crazy, honestly. It's like things that it's just like playing against old teammates when, you know, I knew everybody here, and then I go and I play with LAFC and I'm playing against them, and so. I think the only thing is it kind of brings your level up when you play against guys like that. And now that they're on your team, you know, try and learn as much as you can as quickly as possible about all their movements and how they like to get the ball and how do they like to lay you off and that kind of thing. And so there's a little bit of a learning period, but I think it's much more the other way in terms of the guys that you've played with and that you played against. There's kind of like that emotion, whereas guys that, you know, you've seen and played against but never played with, and then you play with them, it's a different kind of emotion. It's something where you're excited to play with them, but you also want to as quickly as possible learn, you know, how to be effective with them.
So when you're with a guy like Felipe and the system that it runs here, you guys are both in that attacking midfield role. You find yourself in close proximity to one another, you know, combining for passes and things like that. When it's with somebody like that you've never played with, does it take some time to know, hey, Felipe is going to check to me this time, or he's going to make a run this way? That chemistry, I guess, is the easiest way to put it. Does it take some time, or did you guys click right away?
No, I think it takes some time. It's a little easier for guys that I've played with, even though I haven't played with them in a while. So a guy like Ilya, for example, it takes a little bit less time to kind of get used to exactly how he plays again, because I have played with him before. But, yeah, I think it takes some games, you know, training, games, to kind of figure out exactly how to get the best out of each other. And I think that's one thing that we've talked about, you know, me, Ilya, and Goody going into this game. We talked about how important it is for us to try and control the game a little bit more, especially with how many different players we have in the back line. The more possession that we can have, the less, you know, we'll have to defend. And so those are one of the things that we talked about, and hopefully we can continue to grow on that. And so I think, you know, with that chemistry, we'll not only, like I said, you know, help the defensive mentality of the team, but also we should be able to open up space for the creative guys on our team, like a Daniel, a Jerso when he gets back, a Johnny on the opposite side, Nemo. We don't want to just give them the ball with three guys behind them, then they have to try and take three guys on. Hopefully we can keep the ball, you know, suck the other team in a little bit towards the middle of the field, open up the game, and then they have more of those one-on-one opportunities.
Have you talked with Peter, or maybe before the move or right after the move, about is your role going to be kind of the same when you were here the first time, or do you envision playing any one of those midfield three, or, you know, what do you think your role will be?
Well, I mean, when I was here for 5 years, I played all three of those roles. Yeah. So I think he realizes that, you know, I can do that when he needs me to. But I think, you know, we'd love it that Ilya is playing there in that six. I think he's, you know, the best player for that spot for us. You know, no doubt about that. And so, you know, I think in terms of on the field, I think he sees me in a similar position that, you know, I played when I was here. So there hasn't been too much conversation about that. But I think, you know, coming into an environment like this with so many guys injured, I think there is that thought process where, you know, me coming in, Peter expects, you know, leadership roles and stuff like that, and getting guys going and making sure that we don't, you know, feel sorry for ourselves in any way. And so I think that's one of the big things that I think he expects from me.
So that part of it I wanted to ask you about, because at your introductory press conference here, you referenced the game against LAFC when Sporting very much went toe-to-toe with them, and for stretches of the game maybe even looked like the better team. That was in the wake of going down to a place like Toluca, something Carter and I were there. I mean, it was a spectacle to see their fans cheering for Sporting Kansas City because how beautiful of a game they were playing and how well they were executing it. And so now you flip the script and you got 10 guys on the injury list. It's been 8 games without a win. You had those two really tough games against Monterrey. Does the confidence of a team, even if it's a bunch of really good players, can it get dinged? And is that something you can help? Do you feel like you can come in and remind these guys just how good they are? Do they need to be reminded of how good they are?
I do think that confidence can get dinged. I mean, even the best players in the world, you know, can go have their ups and downs, and it's not like their talents are just gone all of a sudden. It's because, you know, they're in a bad stretch and they're not quite as confident as they are at their, you know, top. And so I think for teams it's similar, and especially in MLS, because in MLS it's just, I think it has been becoming a little bit less equal from top to bottom, as it always has been, but there's still that parity. And so you lose a little bit of the confidence with a few bad games, a few bad results, whatever doesn't go your way. I do think that the confidence kind of diminishes a little bit. And so, you know, I fully expect us to get it back. I think that we've been improving, which should help with that confidence as well. And I do think that, you know, one or two good results and then a few more guys come into the team and kind of stabilizes a lot of the things that, you know, we've had issues with in the last few games, I think that'll, you know, make a world of difference. And it's not like we haven't seen crazy stuff like this league before. Yep. You know, teams that are at the top that end up not making the playoffs and teams that are at the bottom that end up winning MLS Cup. And so we all know that is, you know, very true of this league. And so for that reason alone, we should have more than enough confidence to move forward from where we're at.
You're getting ready to take on Vancouver this weekend. What do you what stands out to you about Mark Dos Santos's side now that he's taken over in Vancouver?
Yeah, well, I just played against him, you know, 2 weeks ago, and so he's a coach that has, I think his initial thought was, you know, he really wants to be a good possession oriented team and play out of the back, and I think they've gotten to that a little bit more, especially at home. But on the road, they're playing a very, you know, pragmatic style where they sit back and try and find the counterattacking options. They have, you know, a few outside backs that can really get up the field, and Adnan on the left side. And they have some, you know, they have Freddy Montero, who's been world class of this league in different moments in his career. They have a few pacey players that lead the counterattack, whether it's Reyna, who when he played us, he was injured. I don't know if he's back. They have, the Brazilian guy. I can't remember his name now, number 7. Menudo, what's his name? You guys can't back. You can't help me on that.
Can't help you on that one yet, Benny, sorry.
And they have Las as well, who's a speedy guy who can get up and down, and he's got some talent. And so I think my guess is when they come in here, they're going to be pretty smart in the back, organized, which, you know, Mark is pretty good at getting everybody organized, and they're going to try and take their opportunities going forward on the counterattack. And so,
as much as they're, I think they're creeping up the table now, but they started off pretty slow. I think they are a team that we have to, you know, have a good game to be able to get 3 points from.
Another change in the league is they shorten the schedule, so there's going to be a few more midweek games. They're playing in midweek.
That's right.
What do you think of playing three games in a week? Do you think it has an effect throughout the week?
Yeah, of course. I mean, if you're a guy that's playing 90 minutes in three games in seven days or 8 days, mm-hmm. then it's going to take an effect. But I think it's good. I think it hopefully also forces teams to have more depth so that they can, you know, play different players in a few midweek games. And I think, I mean, you obviously teams in England that play 50 games in a season, they're very wary of this, and they know that they have to kind of have, you know, from 15 to 22 has to be some really good players as well. And so obviously we're not there yet, but I think it's a step in the right direction. So yeah, I think it's it becomes more than just put your 11 guys out there and that's all you got to worry about.
Lucas Venuto.
Venuto. What did I say?
Menudo.
Menuda. Venuto.
The old.
He's Brazilian, right?
Yes, he is. 24-year-old from Brazil. He started He started five games so far. I am not going to forget that player's name.
Lucas, you said?
Lucas Venuto. Yeah. He's been playing most recently in Austria. And now he's got one goal so far in the year
against
Vancouver.
Against us.
There you go. All right. Well, hey, Benny, thank you so much for the time. You're going to have to report back to us on what Diego Rubio is like as a landlord. You know, is he demanding the rent checks at all times?
He asked me if I needed a landlord, and I said, don't worry about it. I will pay you on time, and you don't have to waste money with somebody else. So
I want you to call him if, like, a toilet breaks in the house. I want to see Diego Rubio have to fly into Kansas City and come with a plunger and
Poor
fix
guy.
Things, you know. That's how it should work, right?
No, I'm not going to make him do that.
Okay. All right. Well, it's just something to think about. Benny, thanks so much for the time. And everybody in Kansas City is really thrilled to have you back. And we're maybe as excited as Michelle is to be back. How about that?
Oh, I doubt it.
That's Benny Failhaber. We're going to talk with Mark Dos Santos, the head coach of the Vancouver Whitecaps next. Of course, he spent time here with the Swope Park Rangers as the head man just a couple years ago as well. So that's right after this on the Sporting Kansas City Show.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City's exclusive home for Sporting Kansas City.
Back on the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, Nate Bucati, along with Carter Augustine. And we are happy to be joined by a familiar voice, a man who we got to spend some time getting to know here in Kansas City when he was the head coach of the Swope Park Rangers in their first year as an entity, and now just a couple of years later, he is a head coach for the Vancouver Whitecaps, the upcoming opponent for Sporting Kansas City on Saturday night. Mark Dos Santos joins us. Good afternoon, Coach. How are you doing?
I'm good, guys. And you?
We're doing just fine. And what a trip it's been for you since you left Kansas City. I guess we have a lot to get caught up on. So let's just ask you, starting off, the journey you've taken from Swope Park Rangers to now Vancouver has it's been an interesting one, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's not something that you script or something that you plan. You go pretty much with how the opportunities come along. Like I said, when I left Swope Park Rangers, I never left Kansas City for any kind of bad moments or that or something negative. I really loved my time in Kansas City. I loved my time in the club. I loved my time with the people there in Swope Park Rangers. I have great memories. But I had this big opportunity to build an expansion team in the NASL. And it was a project a difficult one that I wanted to be involved. And of course, after everything was done, I thought it was very positive because it gave me and my staff and the players the opportunity to win an NASL soccer ball. And then when the NASL folded, I got the call from Bob Bradley to go help in the build-up of the expansion team in LAFC. So since Swope Park Rangers, a lot of things happened. And, of course, that I always wanted an opportunity to coach in MLS, and I was very happy that that first opportunity came in Canada and with the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Mark, what's it like now? You just alluded to it. You're with the Swope Park Rangers in their first year. You're with the San Francisco in their first year. You're with LAFC in their first year. What's it like being with the club that's not in their first year now?
Yeah, it's not in their first year of history, but it's a club that asked me to come and rebuild the club. So it was clear in the plan of the ownership group that they wanted a kind of total rebuild from the culture part, from the roster part. So it's a club that has been here for many years, but inside it looks sometimes like still an expansion team. But I think that we're in the right direction, where we want to be, what we want to build. And I just believe it's going to be, it's been part of my life to be a builder or to be in clubs that need to restructure something. And it's a big challenge, but I'm enjoying it a lot.
Well, when we saw at the end of last season some of the news conferences that some of the former Whitecaps players were giving and the things that they had to say about the culture on the team last year, there was no doubt that whoever was going to be brought in was going to have to completely overhaul the culture of that team in Vancouver. And you're the man for the job, and you've spent a lot of time with a couple of prominent American coaches, I think, who are big guys on developing culture. And that, of course, would be Peter Vermees here in Kansas City and then Bob Bradley, who you worked with in LAFC. I'm wondering if you can share with us, did you learn any specific lessons on what it takes to build the right culture from both Peter Vermees and Bob Bradley?
Look, you can't imagine how many times with my staff I mentioned those two names in moments that we're building. Peter is a man that has helped me a lot in my career, and he's been my time at Swope, my office was very close to his. Every day he would come in and ask about the reserve team and talk in preparation of training, allow me to listen to everything and be very close to everything. Both Peter Vermees and Kerry Zavagnin are people that I consider that have a big importance in my development as a coach. What I learned about Peter and what's very similar in Peter and Bob Bradley is the way they make everybody feel important, the way they make everybody feel that they have an important role. And that allows them to hold people accountable, and they're not afraid of delegating. They're not afraid of. They have the confidence as coaches to allow their assistants to work. And I think that's something that both Peter and Bob have given me, and it's something that I take with me. But again, coming back to what Kansas City meant to me is that it was a club that was very close to, back then in 2016, the work with Swope Park Rangers. And because it was so close, the reserve team was so close to the first team, it allowed me to understand very well the culture that Peter was implementing. And when I look at the moment that Sporting Kansas City is right now, if you want to say in points, I think it's only a matter of time that they'll get up again and start growing again as a team.
Mark, what aside from that relationship you developed with Peter and Kerry and what you learned there, what are some things that you remember from your time in Kansas City? Do you have any favorite memories working with the Swope Park Rangers?
Look, my number one, when I think about Swope Park Rangers, my number one memory is a game, you know, a very specific game, quarterfinals of the USL. Yeah. Home at Swope Park Village. It was packed. It was a small little stadium, but packed. And we played 35 minutes, a man down, the full overtime, two men down. And we end up winning the game. You know, I remember a goal from Dane Kelly. That was a very, very special moment for me as a coach and with the club. The other special moments are just little bits of conversation every day with Kerry, with Peter, with the staff, that every time they were talking with me, maybe they didn't realize that. But if they listen to this, it's very real what I'm going to say. Every time they were talking with me, every day they give me more and more ammunition for me as a coach to understand better. They challenged me in the game. They challenged me in my coaching. And again, you know, Peter and I don't have enough good things to say about them too. How much they helped me in my career. And then Peter understood when I told him that I thought the opportunity in San Francisco was an important one for me. He understood it completely. We stayed with a good relationship, and that's just how the game goes. But look, guys, my memories of Kansas City are very good, and it's a club that I consider special.
We're visiting with Mark Dos Santos, the head coach of the Vancouver Whitecaps. I remember talking to you back at Carter, and I had you on the show back when you were the head coach at Swope Park Rangers, and you talked about the frustration when you're working with a B-side for a team like Sporting KC, that the number one priority is not winning. Sure, you want to win, but the number one priority is developing players and a system for the first team. Now you're in charge of a first team, that team that's number one job is to go out and win. How much are you enjoying just that aspect of things in Vancouver right now?
Yeah, well, I think that's in my DNA. That's what I've made for. I've made to coach and try to get a result. So I did enjoy a lot my time at Swole, but maybe what wasn't good for the club is that I wanted to win more than I wanted to develop players. And it wasn't me being selfish. I believe that winning is part of the process of developing players, you know, with a winning mentality. But in the full development of the player, I wasn't the right person to do that. Now, you know, it's different. Now every day, every game is a final. Every game counts. Every game, the result has an impact in your career, in your team, in the season. So it's just different. I think I'm made and I'm built to deal with pressure. I'm made and built for challenges, to push myself, to push my players. And of course, it's not if you like it or not. It's what's your DNA and what are you built for? And I believe I'm built for something like this. I'm built for challenges.
Well, Mark, I think a lot of people that have, you know, follow American soccer were just expecting you to eventually become an MLS manager, and there are a few opportunities this offseason. What in particular drew you to this Vancouver job, and is there an element of I'd like you to answer that, but then also, is there an element of it being in Canada? Does that add anything to what you were thinking in taking this Vancouver job?
Yeah, look, it's a great point. The Canada aspect was important for me because I have this inside ambition of being the best Canadian coach ever. You know, it's an inside ambition that I have, being born in Montreal. I want to do something big for the country where I'm born, and that gives me my first coaching experience with the Montreal Impact, and then another experience with the Ottawa Fury, and now with Vancouver. So that was special, and Vancouver being for years was my biggest rival, and having the opportunity to be with them, it was kind of special. But it's not about a Canadian or an American thing, because then there was Swope in the middle, that is in Kansas City. There was L.A. There was San Francisco. So there was a little bit of a factor of Canada for sure. But the biggest factor was where the club was in the moment they were. And when I met with the ownership group, there was a clear problem in the culture of the locker room. There was a clear problem of changing things, changing the culture, changing the mentality. And I felt that the challenge was very big. I felt that they needed someone to bring change. And I don't know why. It's been part of me that when the challenge is big, this is where I'm around. When it looks impossible, when it looks tough, that's where I like to be involved. And I just felt everything was right for me to come here and try to change and give my best to change the culture of the club.
All right, finally for you, Coach, as we get ready for this game, I know you've got another game to get ready for, but for us, we're getting ready to watch your Vancouver team, and it looks as though your team is starting to – well, it doesn't look as though. Your team is starting to crank out results here over the last five games. You've got three wins and a draw. Have you made some adjustments to the way your team has played? Is it more of a case of your team finally gelling after having some games together with so many new faces? What do you attribute this good run of form to for your team right now?
So I'll attribute that to, one, you know, the before the first game of the season against Minnesota, we had guys still arriving because they didn't have their visa or their paperwork done. And our roster during preseason was not there. So we had a very difficult preseason, a very difficult time to rebuild the team. We didn't have an expansion draft or something like that, and many players were coming from different parts of the world. Then I felt that the first three games of preseason, the season, we were still getting to know each other and the dynamics between players. So I think it was a question of time, you know, a question of slowly the players getting more and more to know each other. Then there was a lot of consistency and coherence in the part of the staff to keep up the work we're doing from day one and not change because of a couple of negative results. I think that the mistake would have been big if after three losses we would start changing the way we want to play and changing formations and changing players. And we didn't do that. We stuck to the process. The players believed in the process. Even the losses we had were all by one goal differential. We were in every single game. So we just felt it was a question of process. And now I think it's slowly getting together. But by saying that, we still have a lot to improve as a team. You know, that's the good news is, if you win games knowing that you have so much still to improve, well, the margin of progression is still so high, and that's what I believe. We still have a lot to improve, and the margin is still very high.
Well, Coach, it's really good to hear your voice again. Congratulations on all the success you've already had since leaving Swope Park Rangers, and we'll be rooting for you to become the greatest coach in Canada history as well. I think I speak for Carter. I think we on the same page there.
Definitely.
So get it done, Coach, and we will talk to you when you get to town on Saturday.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for this interview. Take care. I'll see you Saturday.
Okay, that is Mark Dos Santos, head coach of the Vancouver Whitecaps, an engaging guy as always, not afraid to say what he thinks and not afraid to put himself out there as well. Pretty fun stuff, and it's going to be interesting to see him, and I think that's going to be a tough game coming up with this Vancouver team. They've shown themselves they were able to knock off an LAFC team that everybody, you know, thinks right now is a juggernaut. So going to be a tough one coming up for Sporting Kansas City on Saturday night.
Yeah, it is going to be tough, and you're right. It's always engaging and really interesting interview. I've been enjoying all the stuff coming out of Canada from him being introduced in the offseason and what he's started up there with Vancouver. Like we talked about just now, pretty much a complete rebuild, 18 or 19 new players in that turnover. So, and you're right, not afraid to put himself out there saying he wants to be the best Canadian coach of all time. And, you know, he sets high goals. So really great to talk to him. And I think you're right. I think it's going to be a really difficult challenge. Hopefully for Sporting's sake, that midweek game may affect Vancouver coming into Kansas City over the weekend. But it looks like they're starting to get things turned around.
Yeah, we'll see who's available for both teams, I guess, when Saturday rolls around. Well, that's going to do it for us on this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. So our thanks to Benny Failhaber and Mark Dos Santos for joining us. And thanks to you for listening, whether it be on Sports Radio 810 or on the podcast at 810WHB.com, on the 810WHB app, Spotify, iTunes, and all the places you get your podcast. For Carter Augustine, this is Nate Bucati saying we'll see you next time on the Sporting Kansas City Show.